the prodigal son coming back, the father accepting him into his love, but the older brother looking there and saying, hey, what is this? I've been performing all this time. But sometimes we can relate with both of them, eh? Sometimes we are the prodigal son and sometimes we're the older brother. Eh? Sometimes we become that older brother because we are in church and we feel we deserve the grace of God because we are in church and we're doing the things that God has called us to do. But God says not even then do you become the older brother because you can never repay me for my grace. You can never repay me for the love that I have shown on you. And that brings me to today's sermon. You can fly that first slide. Thank you, Theo, for helping me. I'm excited to share with you about compassion for the lost. While I was praying and reflecting on the month and what God has spoken to us as the leaders of this church, I was reflecting on the compassion that Jesus showed. The Spirit dropped this verse into my heart where Jesus, in Matthew 9, we know that Jesus is ministering all over the city in different towns and what's the chosen. And you see that scene in the chosen where Jesus is so tired. He's really tired. He's exhausted. And there's a lot of people that's out there and he looks around and he looks at them and he says, I can't leave these people. I can't. Something in me says I can't. And this is what Matthew writes. He says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities. The next slide. Thanks to you. And villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease, every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. For them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Amen. Amen. Jesus says, I can't leave these people. Something in me, I'm so tired. I've been ministering all day and all night, and I've been so tired. But you know what? I can't let these people go astray because they are like sheep without a shepherd. And we know when the Bible speaks about Jesus, he refers to him as the Good Shepherd. And there's two people in the Bible that it refers to as the Good Shepherd, David and Jesus. With David, it is that David was willing to risk his life for the sheep. Remember the bear and the lion that came to him while he was looking after the sheep? He risked his life. But then it goes on and says, Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. Beautiful, eh? Jesus went and he laid down his life. He said, I will lay down my life for you guys. I will lay down my life for you guys because I love you so much. And Jesus had compassion on them. He had compassion on those people. He said, these people are like sheep without a shepherd. When you don't have a shepherd, when we didn't have a shepherd, we were straying in this world and we were walking around without hope. But then we met Jesus, who is the good shepherd, who said, there is hope in me. There is hope. You come with me, I will show you the hope that it is in this world. And you know what? I will take you through a season of reconciling you to my Father so that you don't only have hope, but you have eternal life in me. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on. But it starts with a heart of compassion. And this morning, my prayer is to you that Jesus will stir your heart of compassion this morning. That when you see the lost, you will be burning with compassion to share your story with them, to share the goodness of God with them, to share the hope of this world with them. The book of Isaiah writes in Isaiah 54 verse 8. We know the background of Isaiah, especially this book, where there's a prophecy about Jesus and it speaks about the prophet. Isaiah speaks about the prophet Jesus. Or about Jesus coming. And he says, this verse stood out for me. And he says, in overflowing of anger for a moment, I hid my face from you. He's speaking to Israel. God speaking to Israel. But with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Jesus spoke the Bible, God had compassion in the beginning already. When he created this world, there was compassion for us already. There was compassion. He knew that he had compassion in his heart. And he is portraying this compassion through Israel. And then to Israel, he's speaking here in Isaiah 54, verse 8, he says to them, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord. And that compassion has a name, and his name is Jesus. We know that that is the internal covenant that God made with his people. He says, Israel, my people, whom I've called by my name, I will have compassion on you. Although you have rejected your first love, remember the book of Revelation has accused the church of that, because we have forgotten our first love. But God says, I will have compassion on you. Even at the end, Jesus says in the book of Revelation, he says, I will have compassion on you. Some stats for those who are like me, who like some stats. The next slide, please. An unknown source says, there are more Christians today than ever before in history. There are more people who have never heard of Christ culturally in presentable terms than ever before in history. There are more people in the world than ever before in history. Doesn't that say a lot? There are more people, therefore, in history, of the whole of history, there are more Christians in this world than ever before, but there are still people who've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Basically, that is what he's saying. Because God has called us, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and when the Holy Spirit came upon us, what stirred in our hearts? What was that stirring in your heart when you received that Holy Spirit? Not only the proclamation of being able to pray in the tongue, but the prophecy. Paul says, prophesy, ask God for prophecy. And ask God for words of wisdom and words of knowledge. Ask God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But ultimately, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will be his witness. That is the first thing he says to the early church. When the Holy Spirit comes upon me, Acts 1 verse 8, he says, you will be my witness. Because the world needs to know that I love them. And how would the world know that I love them? Is because the book of John says, by the love that Christ has for us, no? By the love that we have for one another. When someone walks into this church today, the love that we have for one another will show them that we are his disciples. That we are Jesus' disciples. When we have love for one another, our church's heart is that we connect people to God. Hey, people come in here, we connect them to God, but ultimately we connect them to people. The greatest commandment of all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. But exactly, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you love your neighbor so much that you will have the compassion not to see your neighbor goes to hell today? Because that is ultimately what Jesus is asking of us. That is ultimately the compassion he wants us to portray. Do I love my work colleague so much that I know that this person is on its way to hell because of the lifestyle of the living and the choices that they've made? Do I love him or her so much that I'm not willing to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them? Freely you have received, Daryl. Freely you will give. It cost us nothing. It just cost us, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. Isn't that the love that you want everyone to experience? Shouldn't our hearts burn with compassion to share the good news of Christ with everyone we see around us that we know we don't know Jesus? Shouldn't our heart burn with compassion for the lost to say, Jesus, show me the lost that I may pray earnestly for them, that you put them on my path, that I'll be able to share your love with them that you have placed into my heart that I could share with them? Or are we all living our own lives in our own houses with our 2.4 kids and our 3.4 million house and our white picket fences? Is that the comfort that we're looking for? Because Jesus says no to that. Jesus said, I'm not worried about your comfort, but I want you to get uncomfortable. I want you to be uncomfortable because then you will go. And when you go, I will be with you. Amen? Jesus says, I'm not going to let you go into this world on your own. I'm going to be with you. Beautiful story. Next slide, please. My heart today is that, and this is Steve J. Cole. He's an old pastor, used to be a pastor in America, in California. When you read some of the Bible.org articles, he writes a lot of them. You'll see him there. Stephen J. Cole, I've used a lot of his stuff in my own personal life as well. But he says, we need to see as Jesus saw and feel as Jesus felt so that we will do what Jesus did. Come on, say that again. We need to see as Jesus saw and feel as Jesus felt so that we will do as Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? He was moved with compassion when he saw the crowd. He didn't say, "Hell, I'm too tired, guys. Ain't nobody got time for that. I need my sleep, hey? 8 hours of sleep. I didn't get 8 hours last night because I was screaming for the boca, but that's another story." But Jesus says to these are sheep without a shepherd. They need me. I can't go to bed now. Like yesterday with us, the Springboks needed our prayer, hey? 80 minutes of solid praying. Come on, God. We need you to come through for us. Amen? But Jesus saw that in the sheep and he said to them, I can't let you guys go, hey? I can't let these people go. He looked at the disciples and said, I can't let them go. I can't. And that brings me to a story. So I said I was in India for a little while. I don't have any slides or photos of that. I'm also not going to mention any names just because the sermon is recorded. So I've had the privilege of going to India. We went to a new unreached town called Ladakh. It's up in the north. It's mostly Tibetans and Buddhists predominantly. So currently what's happening in Ladakh is that they are Muslims predominantly and they are Buddhist. Muslims are very evangelistic. They go in what they call the jihad love, not the jihad war, but the love side. So they marry Buddhist ladies, and then they convert them to Muslims. So that is what's currently happening. But God has stirred some of our friends' heart that has been praying for that town for quite some time. And one of our friends, they are married today. They really have a heart for these people, but not just the heart. Like, yo, guys, I was really stirred with compassion because of their compassion for these people. When they speak about the city, when they speak about the place, they get teary and they really moved with compassion. They're like, we can't leave these people. They are lost. They need Jesus. We know what the Dalai Lama goes through, eh? The accusations with regards to the sexual immorality that's happening in the monasteries and all of those stuff. And they're like, we can't let these people go astray. So what they did was they prayed, they trusted the Lord. They got in some of the Tibetan people that at the school where they're working currently in India. And they've built a relationship with these people. And that's how the door opened up for them to Ladakh. And when they got to Ladakh, they just went and they prayed. They just prayed over the city. They just walked around, prayed in the town. And eventually they came to this church. Hey, there's a church in Ladakh with a zero power. The enemy has been holding that ground for so many years that it's difficult. There's so many strongholds. But the prayers of these two people who have so much compassion for these people. So his wife has been praying before they were married for 10 years straight for that country. And she's been praying that much for that country. And she had the opportunity to visit it once in that 10 years on her own. And when she walked the streets on her own, a missionary, she walked the streets, she proclaimed Jesus, she proclaimed Christ. And when we now came, God brought all of those worlds into fulfillment, eh? One by another, one by another. We had opportunity to share the gospel with people in their stores. We obviously can't do street evangelism. Persecution is quite hectic in India at this moment. But we had the opportunity to go into people's stores, and then when you buy something from them, you share the gospel with them. You'll see this t-shirt that Malachi is on was by a Muslim guy. He was displaying his stuff, and then I walked into his store, and I just felt God giving me a word of wisdom that he had something in his throat, and then I prayed for him, and the thing left. But what was amazing was that he handcrafted all those t-shirts, and I told him that was a God-giving talent. And obviously, they are very close to Christianity because of the spiritual realm there around them. So we just shared the love of Christ, shared God, had compassion with the people. But what I want to say is that this couple have taken it upon themselves to say, hey, Jesus, we are going to be moved with compassion for these people. And we know what? We're not only going to be moved with compassion, but we're going to go in, we're going to get our hands dirty. And we had the opportunity as a church, some of our church, Shofar, Cape Town, myself, Somerset West, we had the opportunity to go to this new place and really trust the Lord. And it was so special just to see years of prayers coming to fulfillment. But it started with the heart of compassion. Ministry to the palace was a banner raised Jesus, which means God is the God of Ladakh. God is the God of Leh. But it started with the heart of compassion, where this lady had compassion on these people. She was moved with compassion when she walked those streets. She was moved with compassion, and that stirred her heart to continue praying and trusting. And today, we're actually on the ground, frontliners, getting our hands dirty, because God has called us to the ends of the earth. But it starts with our Jerusalems today. I want you to put that scripture back on for me again quickly, Theo. We're going to spend some time praying now. At Matthew 9. And I'm going to read it again for you, and then I'm going to open it up for you. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, earnestly pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. God is the God of the harvest. So let's fly that last slide quickly. This last slide, just open it up to me. The source is also unknown. We did an analogy between Jesus and the disciples in that time. Jesus was the one who was tired. He was ministering all day. He was out ministering. He was out healing not only selective people who were sick. The Bible says everyone got healed that day. Everyone got delivered that day who was oppressed. We know that the unclean woman also in that chapter touched his garment. Some power left him. So he was really exhausted. Eh? He was really exhausted. Imagine I preach one day for 3 sermons on a Sunday. 2 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon. And I was so exhausted the next day. I was so exhausted. So imagine Jesus now having to do all of this. But look at Jesus' heart. When you see, Jesus saw people. The disciples saw people. That's right. There were people in front of them. Jesus saw shepherdless sheep. The disciples only saw people. Jesus saw a harvest. The disciples saw merely people. What is the difference between the two? Same scenario. Same scenario. People is in front of him. There are people in front of you. You are tired. Jesus saw people. The disciples saw people. Jesus saw sheepless sheep. The disciples only still saw people. Jesus saw a harvest, the disciples merely still saw people. And that's the difference between Jesus and us. And that is where I want God us to come and stir a compassion in our hearts today. That it will open up our eyes, that we won't only see people, but we will see fellow brothers and sisters who might be on their way to hell. Not only that, I don't want it to be that extreme, but just see as Jesus saw. Jesus saw sheep without a shepherd. He saw the harvest. God said, the harvest is ready, but my laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest earnestly. Not wait, go intercession for a week or two. He says, urgently, earnestly, go now. No, not tomorrow. Yes, now. He says, now. Pray to the Lord to send out laborers. Can the band come up, please? So as I was sharing this and I'm preparing my heart for this, I'm really trusting this morning that God will come and open up our eyes that we see the world out here. But it will open up our eyes to see sheep without a shepherd. To see the harvest. Because once we see the sheep without a shepherd, believe me, your heart will be stirred with compassion. Because once you see the person being lost, your heart automatically starts burning for that person. Because that's something that God has instilled in us through His Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead liveth in us. Let's all stand together.